morning to you.
How can I help you, dear?
Hey, I've got a beep in my living room every 42 seconds.
It's Lou Manfredini time.
I don't know where the leak is coming from.
What scary stuff is going on around your house this weekend? Now's the time to ask Lou, right here on House Smarts Radio.
If you're watching online right now, Lindsay is doing the thriller dance in the producer's booth. And this is a woman that can't dance. Hi, happy Halloween, everybody. Lindsay's favorite holiday. This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This song still holds up, right? You can still play this song, and it will get you going. Now, this Wednesday for Halloween, I will be dressed up as the Big Blue Bear, passing out candy, and I will have the boombox going. Ooh, I just gave Quinn the boombox. I'm going to need that back.
Well,
ooh,
gotta get on that. Good thing.
Yeah,
it's Saturday,
and I have a Halloween playlist that has the Thriller that I play on repeat, Monster Mash, and Werewolves of London.
On repeat, just those three songs?
Those three songs, just over and over
Can
and over
I
again.
Add to it for you?
What would you like to add?
This year's song for my kids is Witch Doctor.
Oh, I call the witch. That's a good, ooh, that's a good one, too. That one, that's a great
on
one. And then actually, Don't Fear the Reaper, you have that in a rejoin today.
Purple People Eater is also a very good one.
Ooh.
I Want Candy.
Oh, see, look at that.
Stick with me.
All right, I'll put my playlist
Bad
together.
Moon Rising is also a good one.
That's a good one, too.
Zombie yeah. from the Cranberries.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, yeah. Joe, do you dress up for the Halloween?
I typically do. I don't think I'm going to this year, though.
Why not?
There's no parties I'm going to.
Really?
No. I mean, I'm going...
Aren't you young people? Like, Mallory is, up in college, and she's going as a bottle of sriracha.
I like
oh,
that.
That's good. It's good.
With a, and with she a green
sent,
hat.
With the green hat, and of course, she sent pictures to our family text, and my kids are like, you look hot.
Ah, I get it!
But I'm bump.
That's good.
Yeah, so she's going as that. And then Carmen always goes as a banana and then does the splits, at the parties.
Oh, yeah. Great.
And then really Quinn and his girlfriend, I think,
oh my gosh,
are going to be
were
like
they
a
last
tag
year?
Team.
Weren't they like something that was really funny? I remember they sent a picture.
Oh, he's going to be they're doing as the Princess Bride, and she's going to go as Princess Buttercup, and he's going to go as, what's his name?
Yeah.
The
Prince.
The Prince, but dressed in the black when he's the... Yep. When he's the evil guy, and the beginning of... I love that movie.
What about your youngest?
He's got some creepy mask from Halloween. I'm like, that is so creepy. Oh, it's so cool. And he's like, oh, go, go. Because God is on his face. He can't speak. I'm like, oh, well, what am I going to do? I will be the bear. We have a lot coming up on today's show today. If you're going to be doing some raking with all the leaves... All I'm going to tell you is this is amazing. And then later on, we're going to talk about... Actually, Domati has been doing this three-part series on water quality and lead poisoning. And the October is kind of lead awareness month of all the things going on in your home. We're going to be talking with a board-certified doctor who is going to talk to us about the problems with lead and testing for lead, as well as a bottle... that you can buy, that you can literally fill up out of a tap, and it will eliminate the lead in the water. So that's pretty cool. We're going to learn a little bit more about that coming up later on in the show. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's get to the phone calls right now. Gary is in Westmont. Gary, you're on WGN. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. My question is, in the past few years, I put fascia board up on the garage that's rotted. And I'm wondering, when you put, like it's a 22-foot garage, let's say, and I have three separate boards.
Yeah.
Where the seams meet, do you caulk it? And also, when you put the fascia board on, do you put it tight against the top of the shingles, or do you leave a little space where it meets the shingles?
You don't have any gutters?
No.
Okay. What you need is, when you put that board on there, you need a little... edge flashing or gutter flashing that goes under the shingles. So you'll put the board up, and you'll probably have the board hang down just a little bit. And Then you'll put this gutter flashing that'll go under the shingles and then cover that edge. You know, and it's a little flashing that's probably about inch and a half tall when you tuck it up underneath there.
Okay.
And it's got a little kick to it on the end, so it's not flush, but it's got a little kick on it, so that as the water comes down, it kind of pulls it away a little bit, so it doesn't wick back up. Without that flashing, they call it J flashing or gutter flashing. It's a little bitty reveal there. You will rot these boards. One other thing to consider, Gary, is using a piece of AZEK or pieces of AZEK instead of wood. So that's a PVC product that looks just like a piece of 1x6, has graining and everything. You nail it, cut it, shape it just like wood. That'll never rot.
Oh, okay.
But I would still tell you that flashing is important because you don't want to get water up underneath in the framing of the garage as well.
So you put it underneath the shingles after you put the fascia board on.
Put the fascia board on. It's gonna you can bring the fascia board just so it touches the edge of the shingles. Then you slide this this channel underneath the shingles. You're gonna have to tap a couple nails in there to hold it, right?
Yeah.
You tap a couple nails in there, and then it just that reveal comes down over the top of the fascia. It's got a little kick on it for the water, and it'll be called gutter flashing, fascia rake flashing. They call it. You know, there's a bunch of different names for it.
Oh, okay. So just say the flashing for fascia board.
For a fascia board, no gutter.
Now, do you caulk where the seams meet?
I would caulk the seams. If you do the AZEK. I mean, what I would do with the AZEK is, you know, the seams, you typically cut those on an angle, right? Like a 22.5-degree angle.
Oh,
so
no,
you put one with an angle, then you overlap with the other one. So that way you have a nice thin line.
Okay.
And if you're going to do that on the open cut, just put a little bead of exterior caulking on there, put the other board over the top, whatever squeezes out, wipe it away with your finger, nail it up, and you're done.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah, I've been doing that, yeah. Could be the reason it's been rotten a few years.
It could be, but if you go the AZEK route, Gary, I think you're going to find it's going to be a lot better.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you, House Smarts Radio. Quick break, and we'll get back to your phone calls right after this. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Jerry in the parking lot.
Blue Man, what's going on?
How are you? How can I help you, sir?
Well, one correction, please. When you're holding the steering wheel, hold it at 8 and 4, not 10 and 2. Mm-hmm. You hold it at 10 and 2, and you have an accident. That airbag will probably break both your arms.
Right, you're not supposed to do 10 and 2 anymore.
Thanks, Jer.
Yeah, right.
Thank
That's
you.
Good. When you said that, I was like, I'm not going to correct her. I'm like, did you?
It's a safety issue.
She's very. No, I know.
It's a safety issue.
No, you're absolutely
right.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're right.
All right. Have jalousie windows in my garage. And I've noticed now I'm starting to get water in, especially on the one on the north side. I took a look at it, and it seems like I'm having the insulation or the rubber weather stripping has shrunk. It's about 50 years old. Is there any replacements for those available?
You have one chance, Jerry, and it's with a company in Stone Park called Blaine Window Supply. Okay. And are you near? Have you been there?
I know where Stone Park is.
All right.
Yeah.
So they have a place there, and they have all kinds of parts and pieces for some windows you never even knew existed. And they are an amazing resource for this kind of stuff. So if you go out there, take a picture of what you have. They have a website as well, but I think you're better off going there because they're very good at helping you walk through the whole thing. Take a couple pictures, walk in, talk to them, and see. If they don't have it, you're not going to find it.
B-L-A-I-N?
B-L-A-I-N-E. Blaine Window Supply.
Okay.
All right, sir?
Very good.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown.
One more?
Sure.
Got time for one more?
Sure.
What I'm looking for is I've got a problem because I keep blowing snow on my neighbor's house and he keeps calling the cops on me. What I'm looking for is 4x8 sheets of corrugated plastic.
sheets of corrugated plastic to put.
I'm looking to build a short temporary wall just to put up for the wintertime, so when I blow snow, it hits that wall, falls to the ground, and then I can blow it further down the driveway.
How about instead of that, you do something like the corrugated plastic in the wintertime is going to be problematic for you because if it gets really cold, it's going to crack. What if you did something like similar to when you're trying to protect bushes or something? Do some posts and do a roll of burlap and zip tie it to the posts. And then you'll have a four-foot thing of burlap, which will stay flexible in the wintertime. And
right.
Then the snow can pile up against it or whatever, and then you can blow it away down that time.
Okie doke.
Do that. No. Do that instead of the plastic, because I think you'll be happier with that. Jerry, I appreciate the phone call. Just bumping up against time here.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
We had a big wind this past week, and my uppermost shutter was hanging horizontally, so I had to get a long pole and heave it down.
He's taking your calls live till 9.
Could have left it there. Halloween is coming up. It could have been a whole look. You could have put some cobwebs off of it.
Wow, look at this freaky house.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
You know, one of the things that we look so forward to on Saturday mornings is we started to bring in and make our own coffee now. Because one thing that's notorious at radio stations is the coffee's always bad. And so I brought a package of Misericordia coffee, which is amazing. And it's so delicious. I brought a coffee maker in from the hardware store, you know, that we sell, Little Mr. Coffee. Share with the team. Anybody needs good coffee. And then I bought a big thing, a half gallon of the half and half that, you know, because I like the real half and half. Mm-hmm. And you can get the ultra pasteurized one, so it's delicious, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Well, the problem is when we did it the first year, then we were gone for a couple weeks. And I just put on there, you know, Saturday morning.
The first weekend, you mean?
First weekend. Yeah. And then we were gone for...
We were...
Three weekends?
Yeah.
The cream is completely gone.
Gone.
Not even like they didn't even leave the empty bottle. Gone. I'm like, oh, this will be fine. No one will touch it. Gone.
I knew somebody would.
But you know what's funny is I really never worked in a setting where I have a shared fridge.
Yeah.
I always brought my lunch. You know what I mean? So I never worked in an office per se.
I knew people would use that. I didn't know
it's
that.
It's so
would be
funny.
Gone.
Right. Do they do things like in an office where they say at the end of the week, we're cleaning out the fridge? Do they do that?
They do, but this wasn't expired, though. This shouldn't have been expired. It's usually only if it's expired.
So funny. I'm happy to share.
Yes, you are. And we thank you to whoever's cream is in there now
because we're using that.
Right?
It's sort of like taking someone's parking spot. Oh, I'll just take this one. Exactly. They told me to park in 44. I'm going to park in 42. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Is this true? Really? Marilyn, are you in Dallas?
Yes, I am.
Really? How are things in Dallas?
Hello?
Yeah, how are things in Dallas, Marilyn?
Pardon me?
How are things in Dallas?
How are things in Dallas? They are sunny and warm.
And did you move there from Chicago?
Yes, I did. Well, I lived up in Ingleside, which is near Fox Lake.
Sure.
All my life. Born in Chicago, moved to Ingleside when I was 4, lived up there all my life until my husband's job relocated us down here.
To Dallas. And how long have you been down in Dallas?
10 years.
Oh, wow. And do you still listen to WGN Radio on the app?
I sure do.
That's so nice.
I listen to you every Saturday. I listened to you all the time up there. First listened to you when you were on Roy Leonard's show.
Oh, that's so nice. I was just, I had an opportunity yesterday to speak at an event of the Chicagoland chapter of the retired FBI agents. And I told the story of working with my dear mentor and, just all-around wonderful man, the late Roy Leonard, and what a terrific man he was, and what great lessons I learned about this industry and business from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah. How can I help you?
Well, my question is, I still have my property up there, which we're renting, plus my father's property. He goes back and forth from here and up there.
Okay.
But several years ago... Due to lack of maintenance in my father's part, some siding, aluminum siding, came off the side of his home, and he never put it back up. And I want to find out if I can buy some new aluminum siding, which I have found a source for, and is it possible to just replace the three pieces that have fallen off, or do I have to re-side the whole entire house?
You can replace the three pieces. I mean, it might not match exactly.
No, I know. It won't match exactly, I'm sure.
But
the rest of the siding is still firmly attached, except for the little corner pieces, which I can get replacements for those too.
Mm-hmm.
But every siding person I've asked to look at this wants to re-side the entire home.
Right.
Well, obviously, it's a better job to do, it's a bigger job for them.
But. Right. I think that what you'll probably find is that is true. Like, oh, no, we'll just recite it all. But those pieces are available. You probably have to do something like find a good carpentry contractor that can do a little of this siding work, because it's not a huge siding job.
Right.
And or a handyman service up there that could do this. I'll tell you a really good source. And if you've listened to me for a while, you know that I've always mentioned the National Association of the remodeling industry.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Go to that site. You can do this down in Dallas. Plug in your zip code up there in Ingleside. Find a couple of carpentry contractors and say, this is what I have. Okay. I'm assuming that the pieces, of course, that have to be replaced are up high, right?
No, actually, they're the bottom three.
Oh, perfect. So have some carpentry contractor up in that area come by and take a look. And, and have them source it all. And, you can probably do the whole deal via the phone and emails and pay for it. And your father doesn't even have to worry about it.
Okay. I know I have to replace all those windows, too. So I wrote down your Gilkey window.
Yeah, they do a very nice job. Gilkey does a very nice job. And if the windows are part of your plan, you could certainly talk to them. And they may be able to help you with those few pieces of siding. Maybe.
Ah, okay.
Maybe.
Okay, well, I'll ask them and see what they say.
Right, right, right.
Now, everybody's recommending vinyl windows. Are vinyl windows okay, or should I be going with something else?
Vinyl windows are fine. I think that it all depends on your length of time that you're looking for, and your budget, right? This is the thing, is that vinyl windows are better than the old leaky windows you have right now. Mm-hmm. Now the advent of my favorite is always wood windows with aluminum cladding. That's your most expensive option. That has changed over time in the advent of fiberglass windows. And for me, the fiberglass windows are your best investment because it's longer term. It does a better job with our extreme weather here, where the expansion and contraction, it doesn't have the same UV problem that vinyl does. Vinyl windows, after about 10 years, you start to have issues with them. They expand and contract depending on the sunny side of the house. The UV that hits them can be a real problem. And so that's where, if you're buying into vinyl and you say, hey, this is all the money I have, you have to go into it going, in 10 years, I may start having problems. Fiberglass windows, they're a 20-year plus proposition.
Okay. Well, that helps so much. Thank you very much.
I really am thrilled that you listened to us down in Dallas, and don't be a stranger when you come up. All right?
Okay, thank you.
Take care. I appreciate you calling this morning. We're going to take a quick break and be back right after this. Let's see here. Make sure I have all this information right. I do. A time now for our Noodaloo 2. Are you going to be doing some raking of leaves, and you want to have an amazing time doing it? Take a listen to this.
If your seasonal autumn tasks include the decision to blow versus rake, our new Tulu 2 this week will eliminate the notion of this smackdown, the amazing rake. That's what it's called. After all, you have to rake leaves up at some point, whether that's to take them to your compost piles, get them ready for the town's curbside pickup, or spread them on your own garden's planting beds. Whether raking the leaves off the lawn or blowing them to a central point, you're still gonna have to transport those leaves up and away. The Amazing Rake is really like three tools in one. It rakes, it scoops, and it picks up, taking the backbreaking work out of yard cleanup. The Amazing Rake is built to last and is super strong, durable, and flexible. Their twist lock mechanism is featured for locking the rake head in multiple positions so you can adjust to whatever height you need. This baby might just be your new best friend this fall. The Amazing Rake goes for $39.95. You can find out more at amazingrake.com. I will put that link and a little video up on Lou's Facebook page so you can see just how amazing it is. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
It's kind of a cool idea. It's a rake that actually scoops up and grabs all the leaves. If you have a hard time, you know, bending over and loading up into the paper leaf bags, for those of you that do that, you can kind of scoop it up, turn it, dump it in. It's pretty durable. When you first look at it, you're like, oh, this kind of looks rinky-dink, but I had a chance to use it, and it really does a nice job.
We love it at our house.
How much do you love it? So much so that your husband threw it away.
On accident. But it was pretty funny. Lou's like, hey, just bring that rake in. I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
let's use that rake.
So we had it leaning up against the garage door. I leaned it up against the garage wall. And
where the garbage cans
right
are.
Next to the garbage cans. And because we get so much stuff for your show,
mm-hmm.
Lou.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I throw it all away, but I store it in the garage and I have got stuff everywhere. But he thought it was garbage. And I'm like,
right.
Where's that rake? Oh,
well, if you'd like an amazing rake, you can check out our Facebook page. And I know a couple hardware stores that sell it.
Send one to me, too, please.
Yeah.
We are short one.
It's really cool. Check it all out. All right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Nancy in Oak Lawn. Nancy, you're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
Good. How can I help you?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm in the process of trying to decide if I need to replace my sump pump. There's nothing wrong with it. The one that I have is an Aquabot by Zoeller, but it's old. And I need to know what kind of sump pump to replace it with.
The when it comes to sump pumps, they all fail. You hear that all the time. And one of the things that you should kind of keep in mind is that the switches on these pumps last about 3 years. The pumps themselves last about 7. Now, this is a main pump we're going to replace?
Yeah, the main sump pump for the house.
Okay, I really like the product by Zoeller. Zoeller is a cast iron pump, very durable, they're not inexpensive, but they just work and work and work. And they have a top-mounted switch that you can replace. And so you put that thing in there, you date it on your calendar and say, in 7 years, I'm going to replace this thing, but in 3 years, I'm going to replace the switch.
Okay. Well, what about a battery backup? Is that necessary?
Do you have a finished basement?
Yes.
If you have a finished basement, I think that you are just rolling the dice to not have a battery backup system. And that is something that I think every home should have, in particular, if the basement is finished. Because if the power goes out, I don't care how good that Zoeller pump is, it's not going to work. Is this something you're going to do yourself, or you're going to hire somebody?
No, I'm going to hire somebody.
Okay. Then maybe what you should do is just to get an estimate. You hear me talking about PermaSeal all the time. They do sump pumps and backup pumps, and they have a complete system that you could talk to them about. They actually use the Zoeller pumps as part of their installation, and they have a very highly rated backup system.
Do you know what it's called, their backup system?
It's branded by them, so it's under their PermaSeal name.
Okay.
The pumps that they use, I actually don't know what the backup is.
Okay, I think I'm confused about, is the backup system like a second pump that goes into the hole?
Correct. So, well, there's a couple ways to do this, but traditionally you have a main pump that works all day long, then you have a separate pump that's mounted either alongside or above your existing pump, that if the power goes out, that's battery powered. And the key element there with the backup is that it has to, that secondary pump has to have the same amount of pumping capacity as the main pump. A lot of times these systems have these smaller pumps that are like bilge pumps, and they don't move as much water. And so when you need them the most, when the rain is coming, it has to move most of the water. The pump system the PermaSeal has, they actually make sure that it's rated the same.
Okay. And are the battery backup pumps truly maintenance-free?
I would say that the issue there is the battery maintenance. And so one of the things that PermaSeal does is they now use these gel batteries that you don't have to add any water to. That's the big problem with lead acid batteries, is you have to add water every now and then, and people just forget to do that. Then the battery capacity is not there. With the gel batteries, you put it in, and then every 3 years, you just replace the battery.
Okay.
You have a pencil?
Yes.
800-421-SEAL, 800-421-SEAL. you give them a call, get an estimate at the very least, and then you can decide on yourself how you want to do that.
The avocado. This little guy and pretty much everything else in town has to take four separate plane rides to arrive up here in Chile, Alaska.
But you would only have to take one ride.
This is solid ice. It goes for 5 miles from here to the open ocean.
So you might want to bring a coat and join Lou on the adventure of a lifetime.
Join the adventurers, the gold crane.
For some salmon fishing, kayaking, yodeling, maybe even a grizzly or two. As he heads
to Alaska, go north for rushes on.
There you go. Just put that little nugget in your ear all day long. This afternoon, you're going to be doing this.
Big Sam left Seattle.
I'm going to Alaska in June of 2019 with my wife and my entire family. If you'd like to join us, just go to kellycruises.com or you can call them at 630-990-1111. Keep waiting. Wait, wait. One more north. Here it comes, right? Here it comes. One more time. So it's stuck in your ear. Here we go.
Sam crossed the majestic mountains to the valleys far below.
Does it keep going?
He talked to his team of a husky.
We got to put a north in there.
Talking.
Boy, it's quite the... It's
He's
there's a lot of lyrics. Well, I mean, Alaska's a big place. There's a lot of things to talk about, so you want to make sure you put it all in there, and you make sure that they get all of the information up there, because you know where we're going? No, it's not there.
I had to cut it
way
off.
Way up north. Right.
Everybody
we don't
else can sing it
exactly.
Themselves.
North to Alaska, where they're going north, the rush is on. This hour, House Smarts Radio, sponsored by Ace Hardware and by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Hey, Domati, you know, I was just thinking about this during the break because how people always get your name wrong. And, I mean, I don't want to put any pressure on you, but, you know, you have a lovely girl that you're dating, and she has a very unique, beautiful name, Kia.
Yes.
And then you got this very interesting name, Domati, which I assume is a cultural name from Ghana, right? Because
yes,
your parents are from Ghana, right?
Yes.
And wait, Domati means something about the king, right?
Oh, the backbone of the family.
The backbone of the family.
But I'll take king of the family. That
okay,
works.
Well, I like that. The backbone of the family. I love that. Now, I would imagine... Now, you know, we got a guy like Joe Brand, right? I mean, you can't get more basic than a name like Joe Brand.
So bland.
Remember, Joe, when I met you, I wanted your name because we had Sam Panionovich, who had, like, the long name. And I go, I need more syllables out of your name. And so the thing is, you know, for us, people would like just kind of regular old names. Someday when you get married someday, I'm not saying it's Takiya, but maybe it is, and you have children, I would imagine you're going to come up with some cool name.
Oh, I've got to.
Yeah.
It's going to be a cool name with just a few syllables, though.
Something that has like some, I like the names with the meaning.
Yes, yeah. I have a niece. We call her Yanni, but her full name is Yanietta, and I just think
that's beautiful.
It's a beautiful name,
yeah.
And it means something to the effect of God's promise or something like that.
Love
I can't
that.
Really remember, but just really,
right.
really good.
See,
West
now
African
I'm always
names.
Worried in the place we are now in society because I will meet somebody, or you know, like my big thing is that have any of you been a waitress or a waiter, Linda? You've been a waitress, right? Joey, you ever been a waiter?
I was a bartender for a little bit.
A bartender. Domati, ever work in the restaurant business?
Okay. No. That's Subway. Yeah, I worked at Subway. That's my first job.
That's not a waiter.
That doesn't count.
No.
I was a sandwich artiste, but continue.
Connoisseur.
Okay, sure. I was Subway as a sandwich artiste. I'll give that to you. Here's the thing. Here's for you kids out there who are going to be a waiter and a waitress, start with your name. Hey, everybody. Welcome to so-and-so. I'm Lindsay. I'll be serving you today. I'll be helping you today. So you start with the name. So whenever I go to a restaurant, it'll be some, like, I'm Anastasia. And I'll say, well, that's a beautiful name.
It catches them off guard, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And then I'm worried about, like, am I not even supposed to say that anymore?
No.
Can I even say you got a beautiful name? I've said it to men.
It's beautiful.
Right?
It makes you
like
feel good.
Like, if I met Domati, and like, what would you like? I'll have a turkey club. What's your name? Domati, that's a cool name.
If
I would say
I was
cool.
A waiter,
I wouldn't say beautiful to Domati. I'd say cool.
I'd like a beautiful. That'd make me feel good.
Yeah.
I would lie about my name, though. I'll lie about my name when I go to Starbucks. My name is Mike at Starbucks.
Oh, just because they'll never get it right.
Yeah. I just
Domini. Domimi.
Yeah, it's too
Domimi,
early.
Domani.
Yeah.
I haven't had my coffee yet. It'll irritate me
I just
more
think
than
you should do
to.
Dimitri. I love that because I want everybody. I think it would just be so funny to see you walk up and like, that's Dimitri? Really? Doesn't look like a Dimitri. Joe, you look like a Joe.
I'll take it.
I like
I'll
Joe. But see, I think that's the thing. Those names are gone. I like those are good, strong names.
I think I graduated with 8 other Joes in high school.
They'll be back.
It'll be back.
They're making a comeback.
Yeah. I mean, think about this. Someday you will be Grandma Lindsay.
I know.
Which is kind of a funny thing to think about, because you don't think of that name as a grandmother's name.
Right. Not at all.
But it'll be like Mabel.
Right.
Right?
Right. Like Sadie. It's an older name, but now it's
Sadie
like
was popping in the 1800s.
Yeah, and now it's like a...
Or like Karen. Again. Have you ever met a baby named Karen?
No.
No, see, and we got to bring those back.
And
I like those
will
names.
They'll be back. They'll be back.
Okay. Lindsay said
Mark
it, right?
My word.
Here we go. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're back. Let's go back to the phone lines right now and talk with Mary Ellen and Skokie. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I have a question regarding something that I actually had asked you about before, but I need more help, more information. The last couple of summers, this summer, last summer, my living room carpeting has been very, very damp. And it was so damp that the bottom of the dogs' beds were wet. The bottom was not the top, so I knew it wasn't the dogs. And like if I'd walk on it, like in socks or something, the bottom of my socks would be wet. So two summers ago, I got a portable dehumidifier, and that was helping for the living room, and that was helping some. Last year, about this time, I talked to you, and you suggested some of the better known basement waterproofing, I won't mention names, places, and I had two of the better known ones come out, and they both wanted these suggested, these major dehumidifiers for the basement. And I thought, well, my basement doesn't seem that damp, but whatever. The problem doesn't exist once the weather gets cold. So I thought, well, this summer what I'm going to do before I invest thousands of dollars into one of these major projects, I'm going to get a portable dehumidifier for the basement and just see the amount of water that I'm getting from it to see if it's really that damp.
Okay.
All right. During the course of the summer, I had over 24/7, I had the basement dehumidifier going. It's a 30-pint dehumidifier, and I would empty that three times a day. The one in the living room I would put on overnight because I like to have the windows open during the day. I don't have air conditioning, and that would fill up overnight. As soon as the weather started getting cooler, even though it was raining, so that's what was happening like 2 weekends ago or 3 weekends ago. It was really cold and nasty, but it was raining, so the humidity was 100%. Those were not filling up at the same rate they were when it was hot. I also have an addition that's on a slab, and there's one corner of that addition where the carpeting is so wet, I have to lift that carpeting to try to get some air under there. So I called one of the major dehumidifier basement workers back who came in yesterday or 2 days ago and showed him, mentioned that again. I said, you know, maybe their basement needs dehumidifying, but there's also this addition, one-story addition on the slab, and all this water is here. He says, well, it must be above grade, and it's not something we can handle. So, I mean, I've been told by two people I needed a basement dehumidifier, and nobody has an answer for this. I called, say, Mega, just to see if they had somebody, and they said, well, maybe you want to get a fan in your shower. Well, I mean, that doesn't seem an answer to me for the...
Okay, Mary Ellen.
I just don't know. I don't know who to call.
Okay, I'm gonna stop you there for a minute. You painted quite the picture.
Yes.
I think that what we need to do is two things. I want you to go to the hardware store.
Okay.
And I want you to buy two humidistats.
Okay.
And they're mechanical humidistats that are going to cost you $10 a piece.
Okay.
And you're going to put one in the basement, and you're going to put one on the first floor.
Okay.
And you're going to give it 24, 48 hours to adjust. And you're going to look at the amount of humidity that you have in that area. If you have over 60 to 65% in the basement,
right,
we have to control that humidity, which is wicking up onto your first floor.
Right.
And on the upstairs, if right now that you're already heating, you've got over 40% humidity, that is just going to hammer home the point that you have excessive moisture in the basement. Now, The larger companies that you talk about, the basement waterproofing companies, they have these super duper dehumidifiers.
Right.
But I also think that you have to consider evacuating some of that moist air out of that basement. And that may be some type of exhaust fan that gets it installed to pull that moisture out because of the amount that you have. And that, in with combination with a larger dehumidifier, would work. But very first thing is start with these humidistats to find out what's going on, and then readdress with the basement waterproofing companies to find out what they can do to solve this problem, because that excessive moisture is going to cause major issues for you with mold and mildew long term. And it could just be the water table where you live, and that's how the concrete is absorbing it. If the basement is unfinished too, you may want to consider putting down a concrete sealer like Bone Dry, which you can get at bonedryproducts.com. That will make sure the moisture doesn't come up through the floor, and that could help as well. Thanks so much for the phone call. 312-981-7200. Susan in Chicago has been hanging on for a while. Susan, thank you so much. How can I help you?
Well, thanks, Lou. Long-time listener. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Especially your interaction with Steve Cochran on Friday morning.
I'm trying to help him out. He's new in the business, and I'm trying to do whatever I can to help him. So thank you very much.
I can see that. my question is, I recently stripped wallpaper off my dining room and then painted, and I noticed a recurring thing on some of the walls that I painted throughout the house. You know, there's certain areas that I'll have bubbling paint or, you know, a little bit of peeling of the paper.
Right.
And it just reminded me I need to address the outside. And my brother happened to be in town a month ago, and he goes, maybe, I was thinking tuck pointing was what I needed to be doing. And he said, you probably need to have your brick sealed. And I was like, brick sealed? Like, I never even heard of that. So I didn't know what thing I should be addressing there.
You mentioned that you have paint peeling. Is it just in...
in certain areas of the outside walls.
Okay. But is that... Are those areas that you just recently painted?
No, I'm just, it reminded me,
okay.
I have other rooms that I painted, and I'm like, oh gosh, it's only been, it's been like 5 years, but it's the same, same areas that I haven't known.
How old is your home?
Oh gosh, about 8 years old.
Okay. And you have a brick home, and do you know if you have framed walls, or do you have furring strips on top of the brick? No idea?
No, I do not know that.
No idea. All right. Yeah. I mean, if you have furring strips that are anchored to the brick, if you have a true masonry house, okay, meaning that you have a real brick home, then you have that finished brick on the outside, there's a little gap, and then there's another layer of brick on the inside, and that inside layer of brick is what the wood is nailed to, and then your plaster walls, if that's what you have, is mounted to that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is possible that you could get some moisture wicking in, but if you're not seeing any mildew or mold, then I think that you're that's probably not the issue. It could be that it's 80 years old and you're getting something called film failure, which is just the paint is old, right? 80 years old, you've got lead paint on that wall.
These are all walls I've repainted since we've been here.
Well, I understand, but 80 years ago, there's lead paint on those walls.
Okay.
So that paint underneath it is old. The paint you put on the top of it is new. It's still old underneath it. And when that starts to crack and stretch and do whatever, the new paint's just going to go with it.
Okay.
I think that before I would jump to, I need to seal my brick on the outside, I would go to those areas, do a little sanding, do a little patching, a little priming, and then you can either spot paint or paint just one wall and see what happens after 6 months. If it doesn't come back, it's probably just due to the fact that you have an 80-year-old home.
Okay.
Okay? Unless you're seeing evidence of water anywhere or, you know, certainly a brick home needs to be tuck pointed. There's no question about that. And if you go on the outside and you see separation in the brick or you see areas where, oh, this brick is kind of loose or this tuck pointing will certainly help you overall for the structure and the look of your home. But based on how you're describing it, I doubt it's a water issue.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And the tuck pointing, that's something that just needs if I get somebody to do that, that's just patching certain spots. You don't have to have the whole...
Well, it all depends on... Correct. It all depends on the condition of the home. It could be that they say, okay, Susan, we've got this area over here, and this, you know, we can do these little areas. Or they may say, this whole house needs to be tuck pointed. Without seeing it, I can't give you that assessment, but if you get a good tuck pointer to come out and take a look at it, I think that you'll, you know, get a couple of estimates. I think it'll be money well, the estimate will be free, but it'd be worth your time.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. Yeah, but brick ceiling is...
Brick ceiling is not something... That's something when you have major water issues to address, and then brick ceiling, quite frankly, opens up Pandora's box with a lot of other issues that I'd like you to stay away from if you can. Susan, thank you so much for the phone call. You're listening to House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. I'm Lou Manfredini. We'll be right back.
We must find the book, brew the potion, and suck the lives out of the children of Salem before sunrise.
I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. And then the witch doctor, he told me what
he said.
He said that
happy Halloween. Now back to Boo Manfredini, right here on House Smarts Radio.
She cracks herself up. Welcome back.
Now you're going to have this song. I told the witch doctor
you did. It's a good one. I got to put this on my Halloween playlist.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's good. I got to get the speaker back from Quinn. I brought it to Quinn. He's, you know, my our oldest son has been doing this podcast called Deep Dish Sports Talk. Find it where you find your podcast. And he was able to secure, I have to come up with the evening, but they're going to actually do a recording of the podcast from a Lou Malnati's location in November. Right? Get it? Deep Dish Sports Talk podcast. Buy some pizza. Drink some beer.
Lou.
What?
Lou and Lou.
Oh, and the Lou. Well, yeah, right. I've often thought that they should be hiring me as their spokesperson. Lou Manfredini for Lou Malnati's. I mean, it's like a whole thing, right? And plus the fact I love the pizza. Right. So, I mean, it's like a win-win.
Manfredini, Malnati.
We're probably cousins. It both ends in an I. We're probably both from the same part. Find out where the Malnati family origins are in Italy. They're probably from northern Italy because there's a whole thing with the vowels. All right. We're going to talk a little bit about a serious subject. Actually, Domati did a whole series this past week, which was very good, about lead in the water and safety of drinking water. It was a very good series. I got to listen to all of the stuff. Good job there, Domati.
Thank you very much.
Domali.
Thank you. Thank
you. Dimitri. Didi. Good job, Didi.
I like Didi.
Good job. Good job. What's your name when you go to Starbucks?
It's Mike.
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 Right.
One syllable. It backfires sometimes. Mike. Sometimes there's too many mics there.
Exactly. Well, joining me on the phone line right now is Dr. Kiara King. She's a board-certified OB-GYN and a physician and surgeon who is working with the folks at... What's the name of that bottle that we're going to talk about, Dr. King?
It's called Astrea.
Astrea.
How are you, Lou?
I'm good. Nice to talk with you again. Thank you so much for joining us.
Not a problem. I was enjoying the Halloween music there.
Yeah, well, we're definitely in the spirit here for sure. Dr. King, you and I have spoken on a couple of different shows talking about the issue with lead and the fact that October is kind of an awareness month for that. Talk a little bit about the concerns that we should have about lead in the home.
Exactly. So it's actually today is the last day of National Lead Poisoning Prevention Week. So it's kind of coming to an end. But obviously, lead poisoning is not something that just goes away because the awareness week goes away. Lead is a toxic metal that can be found in a variety of places as it relates to someone's home. It could be in old lead pipes. It could be in old paint if the home was built before 1978. There could be old paint. It could be found in soil in your backyard. It could be found in old toys or toys that maybe were not purchased in the U.S.
Right.
And so there are lots of places where lead can still be a big issue for children and families.
Boy, that issue you brought up about the toys, I know every now and then we see a story about that. A lot of these imported toys that come mm-hmm. from overseas, they don't yeah. necessarily have the same awareness or rules when it comes to those things.
Right.
And I know I can think of several stories where it'd be some toy that we found lead in the finish of the paint or whatever.
Right.
And I would think, too, a lot of people sometimes will buy some neat artifact or something at a resale shop, and you've got to be careful of that, especially if it's older.
You do. You really do. There's some things that you can do around your home to kind of minimize your risks. If you have old paint or something like that, if it's found to be positive for lead, you want to have a professional come out and remove any lead that may be found. You want to wipe down surfaces, mop floors every couple weeks or more frequently because you want to remove lead dust that may be in the air or may just be on your blinds, your floors, countertops. You can get a lead testing kit at your hardware store for probably about $10. Obviously, it'll depend on the store.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get a lead testing kit. You can test surfaces to see if you're at risk. You can get lead kits to test your water. And then you mentioned at the top of our conversation, the Estrella brand, and they have a new water bottle out that's just launching that is the only portable water bottle that is NSF 53 certified for lead reduction. So it's basically like, you know, if you have those in-home pitchers and things like that, it's something you can take on the go with you wherever you are, and you can fill it from a water fountain, you can fill it from a tap at work, and still have that reassurance, you know, that that you're decreasing the lead that you're intaking.
And that will like, what percentage does it eliminate at all, or is it just tell me a little bit more about that.
It's going to get it down to pretty much undetectable, but there are certain lead levels. There's no safe lead level that is safely found in, like, the human blood if, like,
right.
a child or an adult is undergoing lead testing.
Right.
And typically less than 15 parts per billion, I know that's kind of like a scientific term, is
right.
what is, like, the standard for water coming out the tap when it's sent from, like, your city's water filtration. So they get it down pretty low. And so you can feel reassured that, like, no, I'm not just drinking, you know, this water straight out of my tap that's unfiltered.
Right.
They're getting lead and other harmful contaminants, other minerals like chlorine and zinc. They're also decreasing those as well. But lead is really the big one.
Right. All right. Where do they find more information on both the risks and some ways to keep yourself safe about lead and also about this cool bottle from Estrella?
Absolutely. So the bottle can be purchased at Sterla Tab. You can also find them at EstrellaWater.com. It's spelled A-S-T-R-E-A. Water, WATER.com. And then just for lead information in general, people can go to the CDC.gov. You can go to the EPA.gov. That's the Environmental Protection Agency. And just really increase the awareness. Like, I was just recently reading about, we're here in Chicago, and Chicago having some issues with lead being found in, you know, some of the local residences. So definitely still an issue that needs to be addressed. But Estrella is a great solution for you to have on the go for your kids. My daughter actually tries to take mine and drink out of it. So it's a great solution for kids, for families, so you can have that reassurance that you're drinking safe water.
Dr. Kiara King, board-certified OB-GYN and trained physician and surgeon, talking about lead levels and how there is no safe level and ways to keep your family safe using a new filtering bottle by Estrella. Dr. King, thank you so much for joining us. Have a terrific weekend.
You are so welcome. You too. Thanks, Lou.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
8:47 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back.
Well, I'm getting ready to watch a video.
What?
Oh, just some scary movie.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Happy Halloween. Have we talked yet about favorite candy?
Nope.
Anyone? Joe Brand, what is your favorite Halloween candy that you're looking forward to?
Probably Snickers.
Really? I would have put you as a Snickers guy.
I mean, they'd satisfy you.
Well, Domati, you got a favorite? Domati has like, it's like a candy heaven in the newsroom. There's like red vines everywhere and pizza from 3 days ago. Is there are you a candy guy?
All the Snickers are gone, so I'm upset. But if Joe Brand eats all the Snickers, I'll have a Reese's Frozen.
Frozen. Good one.
One of the few candies you can eat frozen. Yeah. Snickers bar, you can't do that.
No, you break a tooth.
Yep.
Right. You'd be going to the dentist. That'd be good for your dad, the endodontist. You'd be breaking, doing a root canal. Yep. Oh, need a root canal.
Ooh.
He should just, what he should do is
have a bowl of
have a bowl of them and
frozen
freeze them.
Frozen Snickers on the way out. Thanks for coming.
See you tomorrow. Yeah. I love the Reese's, but one of my favorites, the only see around Halloween, is the 100 grand bar.
Ooh.
Right?
Those are good.
That's a good one. Lynn's?
M&M's. Peanut M&M's.
Peanut M&M's.
I just love a good M&M.
Yeah. We have...
I like all things gummy, too, but I don't really like... Like, you don't really get a lot of gummy candy. I mean, you get, like, Skittles, but I mean, I like gummy...
The troll bites.
And trolls and frogs and, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the gummy stuff doesn't... I mean, every now and then a good one, but I... at my house, our house... My wife keeps candy bowls out on the main counter, which for the most part we don't touch. And now there's a bowl of M&M's, there's a bowl of Reese's Pieces, and there's a bowl of candy corn, which I would be, oh my gosh, eat this candy corn, you're going to die. No thanks, I'd rather die. I just don't like it. There's something about the texture, you know, you like it.
I like it.
You like candy corn?
And the pumpkin? What about the pumpkins? Would you eat that?
No, I just don't like the it's like waxy, and it's it reminds me of something in the building trades, and I can't remember. Like, you know, when you're a builder, you're putting a lot of things in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you put a screw or a nail when you're up there or whatever. But there's something, there's a crayon that we use in construction that is like a giant thick crayon that when you're marking lumber sometimes... And it has that flavor and consistency to me, like I'm eating a giant crayon. Not good.
Like a screw, what's one of the facets that...
Fasteners?
When you put in the drywall, when the screw, you don't have a stud.
Yeah.
So you have the little...
The plastic anchor?
Plastic anchor, thank
you. Kind of like that, yeah. Just, you know, it's in your mouth, it's like, oh, I don't want this.
Do you like paydays?
I do like paydays.
Oh, I love paydays.
Try eating two peanuts... And one piece of candy corn, and it tastes exactly like...
I was just telling Lou about that before.
Were you really?
Our mix.
So wait. So you're candy corn people. You do know that if you put them all together in a circle, it looks like a candy corn.
Yes, I did know that.
You didn't know that,
Joe. Why don't you brag about it?
I told Lindsay that this morning. She's like, "Wait, am I supposed to know that?"
I had no idea.
But that's where it comes from.
Wait to go home and stack my candy
circle them up and put a couple rows on there. You're going to be like, "Oh my gosh." It looks like a piece of corn on the cob.
Yeah, I mean, I know that through the internet, not like years of wisdom and trying experiments with candy corn.
You know, it's too, you know, I know you're engaged now, Joe, but you could have used that as your pickup line. Say, hey, you're looking pretty cute in your witch's outfit. Did you know let me show you what I can do with my candy corn.
Oh, okay.
And then 2 minutes later, they'd be like, that weirdo just brought me some candy corn. Nobody
Officer,
like
security, can we get this guy out of here? Right. And that's when you tell everybody your name is Dimitri. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk with Jim in Oak Park. Jim, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning.
How can I help you, sir?
Not about my house. My son's house. He lives in Chicago. I was over there the other day, and he said he's got water leaking down his sewer line and into the basement. And it only occurs when it's raining very hard out. And he said, what could it possibly be? And I said, I really don't know. But he said, it's not on the inside, like a leak from the inside of the pipe coming out a seam. The water is literally cascading down the
sides of the sewer line.
The basement.
All right. My guess is that that sewer line that pokes out through the roof, the flashing is compromised. And in that heavy rain, the water is coming down the flashing, and then it's just grabbing onto the pipe and just leaking down. So we need a roofing.
That was my thought.
Look at how smart you are. You don't
who
need
does he
me.
Call?
What's that?
Who does he call? A roofer.
Yeah, a roofer.
A roofer?
Yeah, to come out and look at the, inspect the flashing. You got two people to call that are sponsors of the show that do a nice job. Lindholm Roofing and Rogers Roofing. Call either
Rogers.
One. Rogers Roofing or Lindholm Roofing.
Got it.
Call either one of those guys, Jim, and they can come out and take a look at it, fix it all up, and you'll be good to go. Let's get Mary in Naperville. Mary, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you?
Well, I had a company come out, and I've had some mustiness in my basement, and it kind of filtrates throughout the house. So I had them put in one of those April Air big dehumidifiers and purifiers, and they said it would be gone in 3 days. It has not been gone in 3 days. It's now been over a month. I repeatedly have tried to contact them. They won't call me back. So I'm just kind of getting your idea of what you think of these humidifiers, the April Air.
Dehumidifier.
Yeah, it's the dehumidifier air purifier.
And is it a standalone unit, or is it connected to your furnace?
No, it's a standalone. They said I could connect it to the ductwork, but they said they didn't really recommend that. It would be fine.
Okay.
And it blows out hot air. And he told me that within 3 days, you won't smell any mustiness. And I have repeatedly tried to call them, the customer service. And I finally got a hold of a manager after 5 to 6 phone calls. And he said he would have his manager call back. But I don't know. I'm not satisfied with this, and I just want to kind of know, what was the guy telling me wrong, that it would take care of this mustiness, or is it supposed to in the long run?
Well, I mean, it should. Okay. In a perfect world, it should take care of it. Those larger dehumidifiers are much better than, the smaller units. However, we want to make sure that we don't have some larger problem going on. So you have this is an unfinished basement?
No, it's a finished basement.
Okay, and the odor is everywhere?
Yeah, I noticed it more upstairs in the second floor after I put new insulation in the attic increased the insulation. I'm not sure. And he said, too, that, basically I don't have the airflow anymore going up, so that probably blocked it. But I don't know. I'm just stumped.
All right.
Because down the road, I want to sell
this
house.
If this unit is not working, then we need to get this company to call you back and get this rectified. I mean if it's not satisfied, you got to get them to come back. In the meantime, do you have a window that you can open down there?
Yeah, there's windows I could open down there.
Okay, so in the meantime, to try and help this system along while you work on this, today's a mild day. Open up a window, put a box fan in that window, and have it blow out, and have it evacuate some of that musty air, and let that run for the next 24, 48 hours and see if that improves. If you notice a marketable improvement then we may have to do a combination of combination of a large dehumidifier like you have, along with air evacuation out of the basement, which I personally am a fan of. Appreciate the phone call.
And now back to my dad, Lou Manfredini, on House Smarts Radio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
That's my girl. Welcome back, House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. This hour of our show is sponsored by Fox Home Center and by Ace Hardware. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're going to talk with Steve Bertrand coming up a little bit later on. He's got a brand new trip that is coming up with Dave Ennett. Dave Ennett is heading off to, where's he going? He's going to the Italian Riviera. Hey, I got a question. Dave Ennett? Lou Manfredini? Shouldn't I be going to the Italian Riviera? Lou Malnati's? I mean, it's like we're making the disconnect here. I don't get it. No, I'm excited for them. It'll be a fun trip. And Dave and his wife Karen are going to be going, and it's filling up fast, but Steve's got some details for us, so we'll learn more coming up in just a few minutes. 312-981-7200 is the number that Brian and Tinley Park called in on. Brian, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got a basic split level out in Tinley Park, and since I've been here for about 5 years, and as the seasons change, I always notice a big zone issue in the house. Once I kick on the furnace in the fall, I got a lot of heat upstairs, cooler downstairs, and vice versa in the summer. I've installed an April Air 80 series humidifier to the house because it was very dry to kind of balance it out. It did make the house feel a little more comfortable, but I still have that big temperature change upstairs and downstairs. I used to balance it by opening up the vents downstairs and closing the ones upstairs, you know, bouncing around that way. But I'm concerned at the end of last season, I was starting to get kind of a musty smell, and I'm worried that I could be creating pooling with that steam humidification system by deadening vents. So I was just curious, where do I start, you know, to try to get my house to balance out, or what's the primary issue?
Have you done any balancing with the opening and closing the vents?
Yes, in the sense of in the winter or in the fall, I close all the vents upstairs and just have the downstairs ones open.
Right.
And then in the summer, I have the upstairs open and the downstairs closed. That does kind of remedy the situation. But again, my concern comes from now that I have this steam humidification system. The first year I had it, I didn't really notice anything. End of last year, I could start to smell like a musty, stale water scent.
Right.
Coming towards the spring, and I was concerned that if I'm closing the vents upstairs, am I creating a pooling where the air kind of stops flowing, and but I've lifted water up to a certain height, and then it never had air run over it to evaporate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the issue there is when you do close the vents off, you know, you do change the flow of the overall system with the cold air returns and whatnot. So the important thing is not to close them completely, but to reduce them. That balancing of the system, when you have split levels, it's tough because that staircase acts like a very large piece of ductwork, right? And so all that hot air rises and, you know, and then vice versa, depending on the seasons. There's a couple ways to do this. One way is to, the simplest way to do that is that in the, and this isn't the simplest way, but it's not the most attractive, is you could put a box fan at the top of your stairs blowing down the stairs. And that would create pressure that would keep the hot air, more of it, or reduce, rather, the physics of the hot air coming up the stairs. And then you would do the exact opposite in the summer. You'd put it at the bottom blowing up. Now, that's not the perfect solution, but it would help. The other issue would be to zone the system by adding an additional thermostat to the second floor, which, depending on how the HVAC system is set up, you may or may not be able to do because it does require a separate trunk line. That would be
something.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just concerned. It's probably the original furnace with the home. You're looking at 1990. I didn't know if it would be equipped, as far as the computer system on it, to install another thermostat. Like, how would that function if I only have one blower? If I only have one blower off the furnace?
It's not the blower. It's not the blower. It's the issue. It's the trunk lines, because the zone basically says that you're going to have a thermostat reading the temperature needs on the second floor, and it'll turn the furnace on and off from there. It'll close the damper on the first floor so that it's not providing any of that heating or cooling to that level. But the zoning requires the ductwork to be set up properly. So one of the things for you to try, Brian, would be to have somebody like, actually in your area, you know, Dykstra Home Solutions is down in Tinley. And if you called them, you could have them come and assess it and say, hey, is it possible to zone this? If it is, you might be able to solve this problem for around $500, $600, depending on how the system is set up. Now, if it requires more ductwork or a different trunk line, That may or may not be possible based on the construction of your home and how it's all set up. But it's worth a conversation to see if they can Absolutely. Do this. And if you're trying to solve this problem long term, you know, to be comfortable in the house, the zoning can definitely help.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds great. Now, would you, I don't know too much about whole house fans, mm-hmm. but do they have those that work both ways as far as lifting the air up as well as blowing down? Or would that not be something that you would want to do, taking the air from the attic and blowing that? Well, you were talking about a box fan.
Yeah, no, I don't want that air. I don't want that air in the attic coming down. Whole house fans are great. I think we should go back to installing those. And now the technology that exists out there with these whole house fans is fantastic. They're not as loud anymore. They have dampers that open and close. And so that's really an effective way for cooling in the summertime and also drawing some of that air up and moving it more because it's higher CFMs. I've talked about a company called Tamtec that is a company out, I think, Rhode Island that makes these whole house fans, and I think they make great ones. And you could look into that as well. But I would start with an HVAC contractor to come out and take a look at your home and see if zoning is a possibility for you. Brian, thank you so much for the phone call. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll be right back.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, is what they say.
You know what they say?
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie.
That's amore. You want to sell it, Steve? You got to sing with me. Ready?
When the sun cry like you've had too much wine. That's amore.
Joining me on the phone line right now is my singing buddy. I can't make this music go down because you're playing it. Thank you. Is Steve Bertrand of Steve Bertrand Travel and the Wintrust Business Lunch and just general smarty pants here at WGN Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou Manfredini. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So can I just start with the commercial for the Edgewater Ace Hardware Store? Because
Edgebrook?
I love my mower.
Edgebrook?
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
I love my mower that I bought from you so much that I just mow up all the leaves and stuff and stare at my beautiful green lawn.
Is that what you're doing right now? You're outside mowing?
No, I'm at the Hinsdale Oasis right now because we come here for our gas.
Got it. All right. That's very nice. Well, Thank you for the plug for Edgebrook Ace. Edgewater is where my wife grew up, but that's okay.
I do that every time. I'm loving it. So anyway. So Dave Ennett obviously is busy today with the Wisconsin game, so I'm glad you gave me a chance to call and talk about his trip to Italy next June.
He and his lovely wife, Karen, right, are going to go to Rome, Florence, the Italian Riviera, and Lake Como. Tell us more about it.
We took a group a few years ago to Rome, and then we go up to this town called Figlini, which is outside Florence. It's a really cool villa that we stay in, and it's a smallish town, Lou. And so you go out the back door, there's like the secret path down the lane, and you come upon this old world square with restaurants and bars. It's one of my favorite spots we've been to. But then you go into Florence, obviously, and see the David and all the sites there, those sites in Rome, the Colosseum, the Vatican and all. And then, I don't know if you've been over like to the Riviera, like Cinque Terre and Portofino.
I've been to Cinque Terre. It's beautiful.
I had not, and when we were putting this trip together, Dave said that's what he wanted to see, so we put that in, and I've been reading about it. It looks like it's just stunning.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell your group, if you're going to sign up, when you bring there, bring shoes that you can take off, because when you go to Cinque Terre, you're going to want to put your feet in the water.
Really?
Yeah, it's there's something about it, because it's a, you know, there's still fishing vessels around there, you know, every day. They're bringing the fish in from the sea, and there's different parts of Cinque Terre. Like, I'm not sure where you're going to go, but we went to Manarola, which is this beautiful area, and you walk all the way down, and you're right along the sea, and it almost feels a little bit like that picture in Greece you see with all the buildings built on the side of the mountains,
right.
It has that
Except
feel.
The, But they're really colorful, right?
Super colorful. Everything's really colorful. Right. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
So you could do that and then go over to Lake Como, too, which is another area I've not been to, but obviously everyone knows about Lake Como and how beautiful that is. Mm. So it's an 11-day trip. Have you been to Lake Como?
I have not. I keep waiting for to invite me over for dinner, but he hasn't yet. He lives there.
George Clooney?
George Clooney, thank you.
Actually, well, that's funny you say that, because Dave and his group are going to have dinner with George Clooney, which is another thing you put in.
Right, exactly. The price just went up.
Oops, I wasn't supposed to say that. But, so it's a pretty cool tour. I'm excited for Dave. He led a group to Norway earlier this summer, and they had a great time. So it's 11 days. You leave on June 16th, and all the information is at my website, SteveBertrandTravel.com or WGNRadio.com. People can just call me, 847-606-6065 for info, or send me an email, steve@stevebertrandtravel.com, and I'll send you all the information.
And you told me...
We got space. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard you said it's filling up fast. This sounds like a fantastic trip. And, of course, one thing we'll talk to Dave about is June 17th is my wife's birthday, so the whole group could toast my wife with some red wine in Italy for her birthday.
They'll be in Rome that day, so
right.
They can get a group picture in front of the Colosseum for your wife.
Perfect. That's great. Really, really nice. Departure is June 16th, 2019.
Right.
More information, call Steve at 847-606-6065 or go to steve@stevebertrandtravel.com. That's awesome.
And, Lou, just one other thing, though. You know, the groups, the people just have fun. I mean, they're just fun groups. They're fun trips. We stay in nice hotels, very welcoming, and so... I would encourage, we always have a big number of repeats, but if you've thought about it in the past and haven't come with us, this should be a good one to join.
Well, and I've said this before on the air, we had such a great time when we went to Spain, and it really was well done. You're going to have a tour guide speaking English to help direct you there. You're going to learn a lot, so it isn't just like you're walking around going, oh, look at that. It's like, oh, look at that, and let me tell you why you're looking at that. And
right.
You really come away from it. I mean, I have to be honest with you. I have told more people, like, different things that we learned when we were in Spain with our terrific tour guide, Carlos, and the group that we had there was just wonderful. And so it's not just an experience with your trips about going to see these beautiful places, but you come back being more knowledgeable about it. So you really do a nice job. You should be in the – you should put together these trips more often.
You know, but there's truth in that, where if you travel on your own, you're sort of submerged and you have to find your way to the store and everything, which is a great experience. But the benefit of being in a group like this is you learn a lot more about the history and the way people live than you would if you were on your own. So, I mean, there are great benefits to both. But, yeah, I really enjoy these tours.
Absolutely. All right, play them out, Lindsay. She's trying. She can't do it. Keep talking.
Right.
Keep talking. All right, Stephen,
listen,
have a lovely day. What?
I'll see you in Edgewater.
Or Edgebrook.
I'm just going to do that on my face.
Yeah, all right. Goodbye. I'm hanging up on you now. Steve Bertrand, Steve Bertrand Travel, if you'd like information on the trip that Dave Bennett is taking a group, June 16th of 2019. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go.
Whatever's making you scratch your head this weekend, Lou is here to help.
We've got a problem with black mold.
Got a beep in my living room.
My furnace.
It's humming.
Just give him a call. Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. Got all kinds of things in my head. It's hard to keep track of it all. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Mark's in Fox River Grove has been hanging on for a while. Mark, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, sir. Thanks for hanging on. How can I help you?
Okay, so I'm tearing up a floor. There was a, looks like 1960s vinyl tile. And underneath looks like a, almost like a tar substance. I guess maybe that's a glue that they used to apply it. It's very hard to get up. I found it at the store. It's an adhesive remover.
Right.
And you put it on the floor and you mix it with water. What I've been doing is I've been pouring it little spots here, maybe like maybe a 3-foot by 3-foot area. Pour it on the substance, whatever it is, the tar. It looks like tar. So I pour the chemical on there, mix it with water, and then I lay rags down. I douse the rags with water, and I let it sit for about 15 hours, and it comes up without even barely putting any elbow grease into it. So my question is, when the wood dries, it looks fine, but am I doing any damage to the wood floor by doing that?
All right, I need to back you up a little bit because I just want to understand. So you had some old tile that was put on over a hardwood floor?
Right.
Okay. And did we test that tile to find out if it's asbestos tile?
No.
Okay. And do we know how old that tile is?
Probably from the, like, 1970s.
Okay. There's a good chance, Mark, that that is asbestos tile. And technically, okay, that should be removed and remediated and thrown out properly.
Okay.
I also worry about if you make a lot of dust, you know, that's not something you want to inhale for a long period of time. So I'd be very careful there. As far as this adhesive remover, is the ultimate goal to get back down to the wood? Are you going to have the floors refinished?
Yes, I'm going to be sanding them and refinishing them.
Who's going to be resanding them?
I'm going to probably have somebody come in and do it. I haven't decided yet.
Then I would stop with the adhesive remover and doing all that because you could end up swelling and have the wood curl. Just have them sand it all off. They'll come up with some super aggressive paper that, you know, literally looks like stones on a piece of paper, and they will they will cut all that out and get down to the wood. That way it stays dry. They'll sand it all out, and then they'll refinish the floors, maybe do some patching if they need to on the floor. But just be very careful with all that stuff. You should be wearing a mask when you're doing all this.
Okay. Where do I get the tile tested?
You would, well, there's a couple ways. You could get a home test kit out of the hardware store. You would put a piece of the tile in there, and you'd send it off to the lab, and within a couple weeks they would tell you if you have it or not.
Okay.
Probably even less
Thank
than a couple weeks. All right. I appreciate you calling, Mark. Let's talk with, this is Mary in Downers Grove. Mary, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. My question was about my granite countertop. I need a good sealer that I can put on it.
Sure.
But the gentleman, while I was on hold with the furnace problems where it's too cold and too hot, in the winter and summer, I have the same problem. And you suggested a company, and I didn't get to write it down, about the fans in Blue Island.
The company I mentioned was Dykstra Home Services.
Okay.
And they're based in Tinley Park, but they work all over Chicagoland. You're in Downers Grove. You could call them. You could also call American Weather Makers. And, you know, either one of those companies should be able to help you.
Okay. Well, my question was, I want to put a sealer on my granite countertops.
Okay.
Do you have a good brand that you like?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple. One is, there's a company called Granite Gold, and they are, actually, it's a company that was started by granite installers and fabricators out of San Diego, and they make really good cleaners, they make a really good polish, and they make a really good sealer. If you follow the instructions, you know, you clean off the countertops, you use their cleaner to clean it all off, you put this sealer on top of that, you will get really good results. It'll get absorbed in, it'll look really nice, and it'll protect your granite. This is something that should be done with natural stone every probably year to 18 months, depending on the kind of use you put the kitchen through. But it's an inexpensive way to protect that stone.
And who should I call? I have a couple divots in it. Chips. I should probably have that fixed first.
Oh, you want to have that repaired?
Yeah, before I put the sealer on it, do you think I should have
Yeah, I mean, you can. I mean, it's hard to get contractors to come out and do that because it's such small work. And most granite installers don't do that work. Did you have this top installed?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember who did it?
No.
Okay. In a perfect world, you'd contact them because at least you'd have a leg to stand on and say, hey, you put this on for me, you know, 7 years ago, and do you guys come out and, you know, fix this kind of stuff? There is a company called Sun Gloss Marble. And they actually do repairs to stone, and they may be able to help you as well. You just have to Google it to find out their number.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. I appreciate the call. 312-981-7200. This is, Mary in Munster.
Hi. I have a problem with squirrels sharpening their teeth on my vinyl porch railing.
Really?
Yes, I couldn't believe it either when I saw it.
All right. Do you have any hot sauce in the hot? What color is the vinyl railing?
The tan, little taupe color.
Okay. Do you have any hot sauce?
Well, I can have.
All right. Get a little hot sauce. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And like some Tabasco. Put it in a rag. Just wipe it on the area where they're chewing and gnawing. And in a day, they'll be done.
All right.
Yeah, and then you can wipe it away. Once they learn that that's not an area to sharpen their teeth, they'll go somewhere else. Hopefully not to another part of the railing. But, you know, they're rodents are not that smart. They're creatures of habit. And and so once they figure out, like, wow, that hot sauce tastes awful, they'll go somewhere else and hopefully not on your house.
Hey, all right. I appreciate that.
You got it, Mary. I appreciate you calling this morning. It's hard to see you when you tell me to break now with the glare of the sun. That's the thing. These are my problems. We'll be right back.
He's taking your calls till 10.
How can I help you, sir?
We're debating on putting in a tankless system. Now, I don't know anything about tankless. Can you help me, sir?
Lou Manfredini.
Sure. Well, they don't have a tank.
Here he is now on House Smarts Radio.
Captain Obvious, Lou Manfredini. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Thanks so much for joining us every Saturday morning here on WGN Radio. Let's talk to Marilyn in Oswego. Marilyn, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I have got several questions for you. I had a leaky faucet in my kitchen, which I did not notice until too late. It has ruined my floor. I think probably there may be some mold under the cabinets, so they're going to have to come out. And I'm very much of a senior. I'm going to be 91 years old, and I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here, so I'm going to want to sell it soon. However, I am also on a limited income.
Okay.
And everybody I have out tells me that I really should put hardwood in on the floor. I'm thinking seriously about luxury vinyl tile, and I want to know your opinion. And as far as the cabinets are concerned, they are saying they cannot be sure that they can get those out and put them back without damaging both the cabinets and the countertop. And so if they can't, they want to replace all the cabinets. No.
Okay, here we go. Marilyn.
Okay.
Have someone come in that. So the leaky faucet damaged the cabinet under the sink base cabinet, correct?
Exactly.
Have someone come and cut out the floor of the cabinet in the sink base, okay?
Okay.
We're going to cut a big hole in the bottom of the cabinet, and we're going to look and see what we see.
Okay.
Now, if we determine that, wow, there's mold or mildew or something, can we clean this up, or is there something we have to go further on? Then you can make that determination. If it's just something that became cleaned up with, like, a Concrobium mold control, okay, then we clean it all up, we spray it, we clean it, blah, blah, blah. We put a new piece of plywood at the bottom of the cabinet, and we're done.
I think there is mold, Lou, because I'm smelling something in here.
Okay, well, but they may be able to clean it up that way. That's what I'm saying, without having to pull everything up there.
Okay.
Is the flooring, what is the flooring of your home right now?
It's hardwood.
It's hardwood. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And is it damaged?
Oh, gosh, yes. It's buckled and discolored, and they're going to have to take the whole floor out.
From the water damage.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Well, then they can either take up the flooring in that area, or if we solve the mold and mildew problem and we dry it all out, you could sand that down just a little bit as a rough sand. And is the buckling just by the sink?
No, it's buckling kind of all over the middle of the kitchen, as a matter of fact.
Okay. All right. Well, then you could have someone come in and just fix that flooring where it's buckled. They can remove that flooring, leave the cabinets where they are, clean the mold underneath there, patch in the flooring that needs to be patched in, and then just sand all the floors and do that. That'll be cheaper in the long run than doing a luxury vinyl tile, which I have no problem doing. But, you know, it might save you a little bit of money. And, you know, at your age, as you mentioned, you know, you're on a fixed income. You don't want to spend a ton of money. And you want to enjoy it for another good 10 years, God willing.
It won't be that long.
Oh, come on. How about...
Not unless I'm a miracle.
How about...
Frankly, I think I'm going to have to sell it within a year or two.
Okay. Then I would have the flooring picked up, have them put in the new flooring that's buckled, cut a hole in the sink base, clean up the mold, have it resanded. You're doing nothing wrong as far as going to sell it, and you'll be able to enjoy it, and you'll be able to save money going that way. Marilyn, appreciate the phone call. Coming up, the stories that matter with Doma Tipango from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Before we get to Lou's last call, a quick thank you to Lindsay for producing, Bob Ferguson for hitting all the buttons, Doma T and Joe Brand for being here. After the news, Mark Carmen will be here with the pre-game for the Northwestern-Wisconsin game at Ryan Field. But first, let's take a call here. Bob's in Fox Lake. Bob, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I have a perplexing problem. I ordered a really nice little sign for my house that has the numbers on it.
Okay.
And it has wiring that you wire four or five LEDs inside. It's on a circuit board. I don't have the instructions or the information on what voltage to put on these LEDs. I'm wondering if you know any expert I could take it to and have them diagnose it.
Ooh, wow. So you bought this sign, like, on a street? I mean, there's nothing that comes with it?
I special ordered it from Menards about 3 years ago.
Oh, and it's just been sitting.
It was shipped to me. It's cast aluminum. And they shipped it to me, and when it came, the box didn't have any instructions or anything in it. I went back to Menards. They have no record of who made the sign. Looked it up eight ways to Sundays, and here I am. I just need an expert who can look at the LEDs and say, try X voltage.
Yeah. Gosh, who am I going to send you to with that? You need somebody to kind of test this out with the volt. But the problem is we're going to have to put voltage to it. My guess is it's low voltage. And more than likely, it comes with a transformer. Did it have a plug already that you would plug into something, or the wires are just loose?
It's loose wires. I did hook it up to a 9-volt battery, and it lit the LEDs, but dimly.
Right.
And my research says it could be anywhere from 12 to 24 volts.
Mm-hmm. I think you probably got to go to a computer store that somebody, like a small computer store that can test the line voltage, like a small one that is in your area. You know, like, I don't know that somebody like a Best Buy can do this, but if there's an individual computer store that does that kind of repair, that does work on circuit boards, they may be able to help you. Fox Lake, I just don't know up in that area where you can try it, but do a little search on a computer store local that you could take that to. Bob, thanks so much for the phone call.